Hello, in this lesson together, we'll be going deeper, taking an in-depth look at jasmine. And as you know from this section in the Healing Oil Collective, we're covering both jasmine grandiflorum and also jasmine sambac. And they're a little bit different, but I'm going to be speaking generally about jasmine right now, but I'm also going to be talking in depth about jasmine from a clinical perspective, looking at how it affects the physiology of the body and also how it affects the shin or the mental emotional aspect of the body. The three jasmines that you'll probably see most commonly available are going to be jasmine grandiflorum, which has been the one in particular that I've been working with, and then jasmine sambac, which we've also been working with. And you might also see jasmine officinalis. Interestingly, jasmine's a genus that includes over 300 species, over 300 species of this evergreen shrub. So it's an evergreen shrub and a vine that you might see sometimes growing lower down, but it can actually grow up and grow up to 32 feet high. You may have heard of jasmine referred to as the queen of the night or the night queen, and that's actually referring to jasmine sambac, which blooms so beautifully in the evening time. And then many other species of jasmine will bloom during the daytime. So the grandiflorum or the officinalis will bloom during the day. And I talked in another audio about jasmine, how I get this sense of the jasmine sambac with its fragrance having kind of a hardier base. It has a bit of a base note to it that you can feel affect the first and second chakra. It's like it takes the energy of the day and then brings it into the night, as if it brings the yang to the yin. Whereas the jasmine grandiflorum, for example, will bring that energy of the night, that delicate yin energy, and bring it into the daytime. So the part of the plant that's used to extract the essence is the flower, which you probably knew. But because it's a flower and it's a delicate flower, and actually the pickers have to be very careful when they collect it, because if the flowers become bruised, a chemical transformation process begins happening that will actually alter the fragrance in an undesirable way. So the pickers have to be very delicate, hand-picking each blossom and putting it delicately in some kind of container or basket. And because the yield for jasmine is so low in comparison to the plant material, all sources that I've seen actually say that any attempts to procure jasmine essential oil through a steam distillation stopped in the 1980s. So what you're going to see on the market is called jasmine absolute. The absolute is another form of an extraction process that doesn't use steam distillation. Rather, it infuses the plant material with a solvent, with a chemical solvent, and then the goal is to let that solvent release the essence of the flower, and then those two things are separated, and the solvent, if it's a good absolute, the solvent is cleared out of the final product. In regards to the aroma, it's a warm, even though you can use jasmine if somebody has a warm condition, the experience of the aroma is still somewhat of a warm, rich, and floral experience. In regards to fragrance energetics, we would put jasmine in the sweet category. And remember that anytime you have a sweet fragrance that you smell, it creates these circular movements of energy in the body. It might be a circular movement like stirring a soup pot. It might be a circular movement like an infinity loop looping over on itself. But even right now, if you sort of sway your body and move your body in some kind of circular movement, you can feel that it actually has a calming and even harmonizing effect on the central nervous system. So when we take in sweet fragrances, there's also a similar effect on the nervous system, on the body, on the mind. In terms of the five elements, specifically the Chinese five elements, we see jasmine having a great affinity primarily for the fire, we say, officials or fire organs. So that being heart, number one, then pericardium, number two, to lesser degrees, it's going to have an impact on the triple heater and the small intestine. The jasmine grandiflorum in officinalis also, in my experience, clinically do have some significant affinity for the lung and the lung meridian, and to a lesser degree, the spleen. So we call that the Tai Yin meridians. Additionally, jasmine sambac has a beautiful, really soft affinity for water element, for the kidney and the bladder. And both jasmines I find particularly helpful for connecting fire and water, for connecting the kidney and the heart. In terms of the properties of jasmine, it's considered an antidepressive, a calmative, an emollient, a lactogenic, a sexual tonic, and a uterine tonic. We're going to be exploring those here in a little bit as well. It's also considered non-toxic and non-irritant. Now, with that said, but still under the realm of safety data, I will say that over the years, I can count on one hand how many people I've had that have had adverse reactions, not topically and not physiologically, but emotionally. And they, I guess to some degree physiologically, I've known a few people that really just do not like jasmine whatsoever. It's a psychological aversion. And two people in particular that actually can get some headaches and some nausea when they're exposed to jasmine. But it doesn't feel like a sensitivity reaction to me. It feels more like a shin or a mental emotional reaction, but a reaction nonetheless. So that's to keep in mind. If you yourself have a reaction or you know somebody that does, I would suggest making extra careful that you get the jasmine from a good reputable company that you trust, where the absolute is really clean and it doesn't have any of the solvents still lingering, because it is possible that people could be reacting to some hexane or some of the solvent remaining. Also note that because there are so many different species of jasmine, even though most of the jasmine comes from just a handful of species, there are differences in the jasmine that you might get. For example, the jasmine grandiflorum is a little bit of a different experience than the officinalis. So if you have one jasmine that you don't care for, you might try getting another jasmine from another region or another company before you make your mind up about it. Okay. So a couple of other interesting tidbits about jasmine. It's native to northern India, Persia, and China. And it's now cultivated throughout the Mediterranean and North Africa. But the world's largest producer right now is Egypt, with India as a second runner-up. Because jasmine is such a low yield and precious oil, a pound of jasmine at wholesale cost will run starting around $4,000 and up. Whereas you can get a pound of synthetic jasmine for around $15. So if you see cheap products, including, you know, maybe bath salts or massage oils with jasmine that don't cost very much at all, it's highly likely that they're using a synthetic jasmine. And then the stakes are higher when we're looking at using it clinically on acupuncture points. You really want to make sure that you're getting a pure essence of jasmine that's not adulterated or that's synthesized. So if you find a jasmine you're like, hey, this is incredibly cheap, how can they do it so cheap? You probably want to stay away from it. It's probably synthetic. And when you hold a synthetic jasmine next to a quality jasmine and smell them, there's really no comparison. But sometimes we have to do that, smell them side by side to actually know and let our nose and our brain know what a synthetic smells like compared to what the real thing smells like, because they've gotten very good at copying fragrances. And of course, you can synthesize, me coming from a chemistry background, I remember the day that we synthesized banana smell. You know, you can synthesize really any fragrance in a lab. I wanted to read you a couple of cool and interesting tidbits from a Aromatherapy for Healing the Spirit by Gabriel Mauge, he says that the Hindu god of love, Kama, who like the Greek Eros and the Roman Cupid is represented with a bow, had arrows tipped with jasmine blossoms in order to pierce the heart with desire. And the Persians in the first century AD used jasmine oil in the air at their banquets, along with hyacinth and rose. And jasmine also made a frequent appearance in Sufi poetry. It represented a symbol of love and also of spiritual longing. I think of jasmine as being this antidote for connecting us self to self, self to spirit, self to others. And so I think it's a very beautiful ally in relationship to both engendering healthy spiritual longing and being the cure or the antidote for spiritual longing that can actually be, we could say, pathological in nature, that is starting to move into an unproductive realm. The name of the plant is derived from a Persian name Yasmin, Y-A-S-M-I-N, and that's a common name for a girl. Now let's look at how jasmine can be supportive on the physiological level, even though I oftentimes think about jasmine primarily working on the mental and emotional level. I wanted to simply start with the physical and then move out to the mental and emotional. On the physical level, as I mentioned before, it's considered a lactogenic, so it can help with breast milk production. I have found several quality sources for that material, but I have not myself used it clinically in that way. So I think it would be worth you exploring and seeing what the results are that you get. Jasmine is also used for difficult labor, so painful deliveries they're carrying on for a long time. And it's also been used, I treat a number of midwives and they tell me that they use jasmine sambac and they rub it over the lower belly if the woman is having trouble discharging the uterus, the placenta. And so I've heard both from the midwives the results that they've gotten with that, and also on the end of the delivering mother, how effective that can be. I also want to note that jasmine is, in terms of prolonged and difficult labor, the euphoria-producing effects of jasmine can really help guide and connect the woman back to the blissful and spiritual and joyful experience of giving birth, even when it's been drawing on and there's been much pain and maybe scary interventions. I consider jasmine one of the top oils for labor and delivery for midwives to have, for anybody that's supporting that process, or if you're in that process, of course. Jasmine physiologically supports the urogenital system and helps to move energy that's stuck in the pelvic bowl. It has a warming, even though it won't heat you up if you're already warm, but it does have a gently warming, potentially warming and restorative action, and also decongesting in the pelvic bowl. So if there's congestion of any kind, I want within the pelvic bowl, think about using jasmine either on the lower CV point, CV2, CV3, CV4, on the lower stomach points, or using it as a foot arch treatment, one or two drops on the inside arch of the foot twice a day for anywhere from 10 days up to 3 months, depending on the severity. Also, because it can be astringent, mildly astringent and decongestant, it's used for leucorrhea and genital discharges, generally speaking. In traditional medicine, jasmine as a plant and as an herb, we could say, was classified as a fertility herb. And when we're using the oil, you can think about jasmine supporting fertility, number one, because it's moving stasis very gently in the pelvic bowl. Number two, because it's definitely an aphrodisiac. It helps put people in the mood and relax things, helps get people into their sensual body. Likewise, if there's any sexual dysfunction, whether it's impotence or frigidity, it helps to lessen the grip of hyperintentionality. So what often happens in sexual dysfunction is we become hyperintentional on what we don't want. So for the man not wanting to not get a hard-on, for the woman not wanting to not have an orgasm, a lot of knots in there. But when we become hyper-intentional on what we don't want, as you probably had the experience with, we actually help to manifest or draw in that which we fear. And so when we work with something like Jasmine that brings us very present in the moment, gently moves stasis in the lower warmer and brings us into our sensual body, it's a beautiful aid for all kinds of sexual dysfunction, thus also supporting fertility. I want to talk briefly about Jasmine being both a supportive for fertility in the classic sense, but what I want to talk about now is how it can support fertility in terms of creativity. So some energetic practitioners talk about the area of the uterus being the seat of our creative fires. The way that Jasmine brings energy and stirs, gently stirs and moves and calms energy in this area, helps to bring our attention to that area. And in so doing, bring us into our body and bring us into both our sensual and our creative natures. So I consider Jasmine a beautiful ally whenever you're about to undertake a creative endeavor, and especially if you're experiencing some kind of creative block, some kind of writer's block or creative block. I oftentimes, before I sit to write emails for my students or for my list, or I'm sitting down maybe to share a course that I'm teaching or a retreat, I'll put blue tansy on my throat at the level of stomach 8 on either side of the thyroid to open up my throat. I'll put something to open up my third eye, maybe lavender perhaps. Sometimes even sandalwood is quite nice because I'll find that calming as well. And then jasmine down on CV6 and CV4 to open up and relax my creative fires. The last thing that I'm going to be talking about here has to do with Jasmine in relationship to sexual trauma and the treatment of betrayals of intimacy. Betrayals of intimacy is a term I learned from one of my teachers, Lonnie Jarrett, and it refers to betrayals that happen in the realm of intimacy. So this can include divorce, when there's been infidelity on either end, when we've been betrayed maybe by a business partner or a friend. Anytime where there's been a betrayal of trust, the energy tends to lock down around the heart. And if it's an old betrayal of trust, that energy around the heart starts to sort of squeeze in and can become, oh, I suppose a good word that's coming to mind is we can have a kind of crepitus, you know, a kind of crustiness at the level of the heart. And then in regards to sexual betrayal and sexual trauma, there's likewise a locking down that happens at the level of the pelvis and even energetically around the genitals in order to have protection and sometimes to wall off and block off trauma within that area. Now, where talk therapy, cognitive therapy can be so helpful for gaining perspective in relationship to traumas, especially sexual traumas. Well, any trauma, but I'm thinking about sexual trauma right now. The thing is that it oftentimes doesn't bring it down to the level of the body. The body has its own things stored up. And if we could access everything within the body with the conscious mind, you know, things would perhaps be different. But it's oftentimes challenging because we've quarantined and cut off ourselves from those areas of the body because we needed to tend to that trauma in that way at that time in order to survive. This is where oils in general are beautiful allies because they go to certain areas of the body, they soften boundaries, they soften resistance, and they bring in the medicine. They bring in what's needed and they restore healthy vibration, resonance, and they bring online, we could say, a remembrance of healthy functioning of those areas. Jasmine in particular is very well suited where there's been sexual trauma and there's some somaticized material from that trauma within the lower warmer, within the lower part of the body. So using it in that area, if you're a massage therapist, you can use it to do belly massage or pelvic massages, massage over the uterus. If you like to do acupuncture points, try any of those lower CV points or the lower stomach points in that area. I don't have a lot of experience using Jasmine on the Do or GV channel on the back, but I think that that's worth working with, especially with the Jasmine Sambach, for helping to move stuck trauma, especially as it relates to sexual trauma. And then lastly, in regards to betrayals of intimacy, as I talked about on the Jasmine and Trust audio, Jasmine is so beautiful for helping to connect us back, trusting self to self, self to spirit, and then self to others. And as Jasmine, the restorer of trust, helps us to bridge those divides in a very healthy and natural way, then the pathology, we could say, the pathology that might be residing anywhere in the body and the mind in regards to the betrayal of trust can start to naturally resolve itself and move itself out. I hope that you found this helpful in terms of using Jasmine clinically. It can, of course, be added to other oils that you might be using within a treatment. It does very well there. I oftentimes like to close my treatment with Jasmine on Heart 7, Pericardium 7, CV17, sometimes Lung 1. You can pick or choose. I generally, if I'm closing a treatment, I'll pick one of those points to close with. Also, you can send your clients home with Jasmine, especially if they're working through a betrayal of intimacy. Have them apply it right on the center of the wrists at P7. Rub and hold the wrists together for a minute and breathe, and then put it up to their nose and breathe it in, and have them do it 3 to 5 times a day. That can be a very, very powerful treatment for helping people to stay present with themselves through traumatic and shocking events that may be unavoidable, like a divorce, for example, or a custody battle, something like this. Jasmine baths are amazing, even just dabbing a little bit of jasmine under the nose, and then of course rubbing a couple of drops of jasmine over the uterus and just above the pubic bone can be so beautiful with the intention of resolving anything that might be lingering in regards to sexual trauma. All the best, and I would love to hear back from you on the forum what you're discovering with jasmine in your work, as it might be relating to any kind of sexual violation or sexual abuse or trauma around sexuality. This includes, by the way, when somebody is going through a gender identification movement and they might be moving into a choice of gender identification that feels more appropriate for them, that isn't what they were born with, the actual genitalia that they were born with. There is a lot of anxiety and even trauma, really, that comes up, as you can imagine, with this movement. Two of the oils that I work with often when supporting people through that process is jasmine on the lower CV points, and also clary sage, oftentimes on lower kidney points.